Good morning, and welcome to our first half 2023 results call. I am Clara Valera, Investor Relations and Business Development Director. Joining me today on this call is our Executive Chairman, Eloy Planes, our CEO, Bruce Brooks, and Xavier Tintoré, our CFTO. They will walk you through a few slides on our results, and then they will all be available to take your questions. You can follow this presentation in its original English version or in Spanish. Please select your preferred option in the drop-down menu at the bottom right-hand side of your screen. If you would like to ask a question, please find the information and instructions in the Ask a Question tab on your webcast. Please register to receive dial-in details. After the registration process, you will need to press star five on your telephone keypad to ask your question. The presentation is accessible via our website, fluidra.com, and has also been uploaded to the Stock Exchange Commission this morning. A replay of today's presentation will be made available on our website later today. With that, I hand over to our Executive Chairman, Eloy Planes.
Gracias, Clara. Thanks, Clara. Good morning to all of you. Thank you for your interest in Fluidra and for taking the time to join us this morning. Today, we are presenting our first half 2023 results, and Bruce and Xavier will provide more detail shortly. Let me first summarize a few key takeaways. We are delivering within our range of expectations for the year in a normalizing market with a challenging macroeconomic backdrop. In the second quarter, we continued to see lower residential new build demand, as well as unfavorable weather shortening the pool season. As anticipated, sales volumes were also affected by the correction of inventory in the channel, which progressed well during the second quarter. We expect to leave it broadly behind us by the end of this year's pool season. Pleasingly, gross margin is recovering both year-on-year and sequentially, with good price read-through. As a management team, we are taking action. We have a sharp focus on controlling costs, and we are normalizing our inventory levels. We are a better business today than in 2019, but more importantly, we are strengthening the business for the long term. Our simplification program, as you will see later, is well on track, and we continue to build our global leading platform. The macroeconomic context remains uncertain. We are narrowing our 2023 guidance to reflect a deterioration in economic conditions and also the progress we have achieved in the first half to recover margins, together with the outstanding work of our teams to reduce our cost base. We are confident in our future. Fluidra is well positioned to continue to lead the pool and wellness market, delivering improving returns on capital over the medium term in an industry with attractive structural growth. With this, I pass the floor to Bruce to present in more detail our first half results.
Good morning, Eloy, and thank you all for participating today on this conference call. Moving to slide number five. Let me start with comments on our overall performance and highlights for the first half, and then turn it over to Xavier to provide more details on the financial results. The numbers you see on slide five are the 2022 and 2023 financial highlights for the first half. Sales declined by 18% to 1,186 million euros, compared to a solid growth in H1 last year, up 8% organically, driven by lower volumes. This performance was within the range of our expectations. EBITDA was 20% lower compared to a strong prior year period, with continued positive sequential gross margin evolution over the last four quarters, mitigated by the effect of lower sales. Our restructuring and cost control initiatives also contributed greatly to the performance, partially offsetting fixed cost inflation. I'm thankful to our teams for their efforts. Going down the P&L, cash EPS was lower year-on-year, as a result of half year's operating performance. We have managed our stock levels significantly down from a year ago, and this is reflected in a lower operating net working capital. As a percent of sales, it was around 31% compared to 29% last year. With the slowdown in procurement and production as trading normalizes, impacting payables. Xavier will provide more detail later. Even against a more difficult backdrop, our business continues to be cash generative and net debt is down around 180 million euros this quarter. Beyond financial results, we also continue to build our global leading platform. We have expanded our EMEA Pro Center network to bring us even closer to our customers, with five more centers, which are a one-stop shop for the Pool Pro, with the high-quality service and availability standards we are known for. We are also investing in our logistics network to become more efficient. In the U.S., we have integrated recent acquisitions, and we are streamlining our operations to better serve our customers, while we reinforce our aftermarket program. In July, we completed the acquisition of Meranos, a well-established player in Germany, which will cement our number one market position in the third largest market in Europe. Another key initiative for the company is what you have in slide number 6, our simplification program. Let me share our progress on the program. This program, which is delivering long-term value and enhancing our resilience, is mainly built on two core areas, one focused on improving gross margin and the other focused on reducing structural overlaps and streamlining our operations. It is also underpinned by our drive to foster an agile and dynamic organization, our culture, and our values. As you will recall from our previous earnings calls, we expect to deliver 100 million euros of EBITDA over the next 3 years, with one-third accumulating in each of the years and total one-off costs below one time. Our teams have made great progress. As you see on the right-hand side of the slide, we have to date around 350 initiatives being implemented, which amount to savings of 57 million euros on an annual run rate basis, representing 57% of the total program. We expect 29 million euros will be reflected in our 2023 performance, up from the 24 million reported in our Q1 results. Most of the 2023 savings relate to our efforts to reduce our fixed cost base, reducing headcount, and simplifying our organizational structure to become more efficient. In 2023, we also expect a contribution from our initiatives to enhance gross margin, which will have a greater impact on an annual run rate basis in the future. This first phase of initiatives is centered on leveraging our scale and global strategic procurement efforts to reduce the bill of materials across key products and cost categories, as well as design-to-value initiatives. We are confident on delivering one-third of the program's total savings in 2023. We'll continue to provide you with regular updates. Moving to slide number 7. Where I'd like to talk to you about our world-class commercial pool offering. Commercial pool sales, while a smaller portion of our portfolio, are up 6% year-on-year on a constant FX and perimeter. We are underrepresented in this market, and we have the opportunity for further growth. We provide a range of pool, wellness, fountains, and lake solutions for a range of sectors from sports clubs to hospitality. You can see here a few recent examples. On the left, I'd like to highlight competition pools. Last year, we built two temporary pools in Rome for the European Aquatics Championship. This year, we're extending and renovating three pools at Chile's National Stadium's Aquatic Center for around 3 million euros. Both these projects used our sky pool panels in galvanized steel, which allow easy, safe, and reliable installation with great accuracy, complying with the most stringent requirements. They also allow, if needed, disassembly after the event concludes. On the right, you can see a picture of the recently completed fountains along a bridge in Andorra, which features a number of symmetrical effects on both banks of the river, as well as a water curtain that is digitally backlit as one approaches the bridge. The water used by these fountains is collected and recycled from the River Valira. Another example are the fountains by the Astana Grand Mosque in Kazakhstan, with an impressive display of multiple water jets and synchronized music and colors. The cornerstones of our success in commercial pool are an unmatched complete product offering and turnkey project services. We have a broad product portfolio, which we have expanded with recent acquisitions in North America. In EMEA and APAC, we can offer fully fledged turnkey project services. Our specialized team can support our customers from ideation to design and execution of commercial pool, wellness, fountains, and lagoon projects around the world. Moving to slide number 8, into the details of the first half. On the right side of the slide, you can see the positive contribution of price to sales performance in the first half and the volume decline. This compares to an 8% organic growth in H1 last year, on top of a 50% growth in H1 2021. Overall, sales in the first half were within the range of our expectations, but with varying moving parts. The adjustment of inventory in the channel, having been slower than we anticipated in Q1, progressed well in Q2. Unfavorable weather, particularly in the U.S., and a tougher global macro environment have been headwinds during this period. New construction demand was at the lower end of our expectations, while maintenance and repair were broadly as expected. Commercial pool sales were in line. By region, the general development was roughly as anticipated. With that, I'll turn it over to Xavier to explain the financial results in more detail.
Thank you, Bruce. Let's turn to page 9 to start with the P&L. Sales declined by 18% in the first half to $1,186,000,000. Gross margin reached 52.5%, 140 basis points higher than prior year, with sequential gross margin recovery from 51.6 in Q4 2022 and 52.1 in Q1 of this year. We have seen good pricing read-through and favorable product and geographic mix, which more than offset the impact of lower manufactured volumes due to adjusting inventories and some inflation impacts. Operating expenses reached $335 million, a decrease of 12%, with lower logistics and transportation costs, where we are seeing deflation, and the contribution from our simplification program, where we invest in IT and R&D, in particular around our sustainable pool product offering and connected pool pad. EBITDA reached $288 million, a decrease of 20%, driven by the impact of lower volumes, which cannot be offset by increased margin percent and reduced expenses. EBITDA margin reached 24.3%. Q2, on a standalone basis, has performed nicely versus prior year on the back of good gross margin recovery and cost control, delivering a 26.5% margin, almost 200 basis points higher than last year, despite the decline in sales. EBITDA of $244 million was down 24% with a margin of 20.6%. Below the EBITDA line, Amortization is down 6% at 34 million. Non-recurring expenses of 28 million add up from 11 million last year, driven entirely by the impact of the simplification one-off cost, which account for 20 million. Stock-based compensation of 6 million is flat to prior year, while M&A cost and other non-recurring expenses represent 2 million. We expect non-recurring expenses to be around 55 million in 2023, of which around 7 million are related to stock-based compensation. Net financial results amount to 36 million, 9 million lower than last year, despite higher interest rate, as 2022 had a 12 million write-off of non-cash fees generated in the refinancing. Just to remind you, our main funding facility is a 1.1 billion TLB in euros and dollars that matures in 2029. 80% of the TLB has a fixed interest rate until June 2026. Tax rate was 28% versus a 26% tax rate in 2022. Net profit reached 104 million compared to 166 million in 2022. As you know, we track cash net profit, a good indicator for Fluidra, as we have a significant amortization charge, entirely purchase accounting related, that impacts our net profit and EPS calculation. Cash net profit amounted to 151 million, down 31% on the prior year. Page 10 shows the free cash flow statement as well as the net debt evolution. Free cash flow generation for the first half was 13 million, in contrast with a use of 113 million in 2022. Operating cash flow was 68 million versus a use of 67 million last year, with weaker EBITDA more than compensated by a 250 million lower investment in working capital. If we zoom into net working capital, which you have in the appendix, page 19, you will see that for the first time since the market started to normalize, it was lower than in the prior year. In this case, by 50 million, with varying components. Inventories are 140 million lower than in the prior year. But as we correct inventory levels, we lower purchases, which in turn mean lower payables by more than 130 million. All in all, we continue to execute our plan to normalize net working capital, working towards our year-end target of around 20%. On the investment and financing front, cash usage is very similar to what we used last year. Finally, net debt reached 1.3 billion, up 55 million. Our leverage ratio is 3x. We have reduced debt by 178 million in the second quarter. We are confident that this evolution will continue in the following quarters. And with that, I will give the floor to Bruce and Eloy for closing comments.
Thank you, Xavier. Let me provide more color on 2023 guidance. When we started the year, we shared with you a wide guidance range, recognizing an expected normalization of the industry following years of strong growth, the correction of the inventory in the channel, and expectations of softer demand, in particular for residential new pools. As the year goes on, the correction of the inventory in the channel is progressing well. Sales volumes are more in line with the lower half of our range, driven by new build demand down at least 25%, unfavorable weather, and a weaker macro. NFX has been a bit against us more recently. On the other hand, we have a wide geographic footprint with a strong foothold in Europe, where we are distributors and serve our customers the full aftermarket bundle, including chemicals, which are flat year on year. Importantly, our actions to recover gross margin and reduce our cost base are delivering. While macroeconomic uncertainty remains, on balance, we are narrowing our guidance to the lower half of the range we shared with you in February as we head into the second half of the year, when comparables should get easier. In particular, in the fourth quarter, when last year we were experiencing a strong inventory correction. Our 2023 guidance is 2 to 2.1 billion euros in revenue and 410 to 450 million euros in EBITDA, from 2 to 2.2 billion euros and 410 to 480 million euros when we started the year. I now hand over to Eloy for his final remarks.
Thank you, Bruce. Moving to slide number 12, I would like to summarize a few key takeaways before the end of today's presentation. We deliver good performance in the first half of this year against a difficult backdrop, with weaker demand compared to a very strong performance in the prior 2 years, channel inventory correction, and a challenging macro environment. Difficult times also present opportunities. Opportunity to accelerate improvements. We continue to drive the implementation of our simplification program, which will continue to deliver value into the future. As we have shared with you today, we are well on track to achieve our target for the full year and to deliver margin enhancement in the years to come. We are making progress on the normalization of our levels of working capital, and we are focused on cash generation. While net debt is above our target level, our balance sheet remains solid and provides flexibility to navigate through this uncertain macro environment. Looking into the future, I'm confident in the attractiveness of our sector and our ability to create value for our stakeholders as the global leader in the pool and wellness sector. We are extremely well positioned to continue to lead this market with our broad product and global geographic footprint, our high quality and service, our leadership in connected and sustainable pool, and our simplification program to transform Fluidra, enhance our margins, and become a more efficient organization. Thank you all for your participation. And now we open the Q&A turn. Bruce, Xavier, and I, we are ready to take your questions.
Many thanks, Eloy, Bruce, and Xavier for your presentation. We now begin the Q&A session. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please find the information and instructions in the Ask a Question tab on the webcast. You have to register to receive dial-in details to ask your question. For those registered, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 5 on your telephone keypad. The first question comes from George at Bank of America. George, please go ahead.
Hi, morning everyone. Thanks for taking the questions. I've got three, but I'll ask them one at a time. So firstly, on the destocking forecast that you've put out, they seem fairly consistent with what some of your peers have been saying, but I just want to kind of understand a little bit about what brings confidence to your assessment that the destocking will be done by what sounds like the end of Q3.
Hey, George, it's Bruce. I'll take that one. I think really, I mean, we feel good about the progress that we saw in Q2. It was better than Q1, and in our estimation, we think it's mostly done. Europe in particular is, let's call it, materially clean. And we started to see a better ordering pattern in late June and now into July. Now, North America had more, and we saw huge progress, and we believe we will be clean by the end of Q3 in North America. So, from a back half perspective, Q4 will be definitely stronger than Q3, but definitely in the right direction. It's always hard, I think, on the quarters to put an exact number on it, George. but from a full year perspective, we feel pretty good about that range that we've given before of 5 to 6%. And frankly, looking forward to 2024 and getting to a normalized inventory situation.
Thank you, Bruce. That's super helpful. Maybe one then on that kind of, you know, sort of post-normalization period. So some of your peers have come out and said they think the market is kind of mid to high single digit growth rate after, I guess, when we go after this year. Is that consistent with how you see the world?
I guess, good question, George. I mean, we're clearly not going to guide for 2024 yet. We do think we'll be normalizing from an inventory perspective. So I think that part will be all good. I think the macro remains highly, highly uncertain, but from a, I guess, challenges to the industry, we feel like we're closer to the bottom. Now, as we look into 24, I'd say I'm not expecting a significant recovery in new build. While I do think you'll see the aftermarket, you know, show the resilience that we've seen in most of it, even through this year. And hopefully we'll start to see the benefit of all the new pools that have been put in over the last few years. If you're talking a little bit more to the midterm, George, absolutely. I mean, I think the industry gets back to kind of that low digit growth of just volume going into the aftermarket year on year, with the average ticket rising, a little bit of price. And so, yeah, we think we get back into that range fairly quickly. Just want to separate out, you're probably not looking for my economic forecast. So we'll call that the midterm.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Bruce. That's exactly what I was referring to. Okay, final one for me then. Have you seen anything in terms of how your product mix has evolved recently to suggest that customers are maybe trading down to a more lower value segment?
For the most part, George, in new construction, we tend to be particularly strong at the higher end, so we're not seeing trading down there. I would tell you that the digital product or connected product is still performing significantly ahead of the pace of the rest of the overall business. We've got a really wide range of products, so we can accommodate customers at different price points. We see a little bit of that in some of the cleaning products, where maybe they're going for a lower price point robotic cleaner. With the exception of, we launched a cordless cleaner this year, and it's done quite well. So I would say non-material, but clearly the consumer is being a little bit more thoughtful right now.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, George. The next question comes from Lucas Ferrani from Jefferies. Lucas, please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. I also have three, if possible. Just the first one on free cash flow. Are you comfortable with the direction of travel into year end and reducing kind of the working cap ratio? I'll do the first one initially.
Yeah, thank you, Lucas. I'll take the one. This is Xavier. Yeah, we are comfortable with the performance of net working capital. As I explained in the call, Q2 has been has shown good progress in that direction, with a significant reduction of inventory, and obviously we have this impact as we lower the manufacturing volumes on payables. As I said in the call, we will continue to execute in the plan towards our year-end target of finishing around, I would say, 20% as a percent of sales.
Okay, perfect. And then on the gross margin, obviously you're still doing very, very good progress sequentially year on year. Do you have a target for a feel of where you want to take that gross margin? Because you're now back to kind of peak levels you've had before. Do you think there's room for the gross margins to even before the 53% that you've had previously, or not really, you're not looking necessarily to optimize for the gross margin in itself?
Yeah, Lucas, it's Bruce. We really don't guide for gross margin individually. Happy to talk a little bit about price, happy to talk about the simplification programs and our efforts to continue to drive, but we're definitely think more on the EBITDA side.
And just maybe asking it differently, is gross margin going to be a bit more kind of stable going forward versus the move you've seen over the past few quarters?
I think, first of all, really pleased with the recovery that we've seen over the last four quarters. In the first half of the year, let me answer it this way. I think it's going to be more stable, but the composition is going to be a little bit different. So in the first half of the year, you saw a bit more price read-through and helping us offset the lower volumes. I think in the second half of the year, you'll see pretty consistent gross margins, but you won't see the same price as we've anniversaried price increases. And but we also see cost inflation a little bit less in the back half. So,
okay, perfect. And the last one was just on new builds. Can you give us again your split a little bit now? Obviously, there's been a massive decline in new build, and aftermarket has been more resilient, and also versus kind of COVID. Just what's your kind of new build versus aftermarket split now? And also, do you see a scenario where new build is kind of down again in 2024, or where you see levels potentially ending this year? You're comfortable that, you know, you would not see new build down, but potentially flattish to growth?
I don't know that we're ready to give you a new build number yet for 2024. As I said in my remarks, I think we'll be pretty cautious on that one. I think as far as it's concerned this year, we think it'll be at the low end of our expectations, or at least 25%. Pool permits and feedback from our customers currently suggest kind of a 25 to 30% decline for the year. I'd say globally, it's a little worse in the U.S. versus in Europe, where less pools are financed. And then if you go back to the U.S., we tend to do well, again, at the high end, where they're not financed. And so we think we're doing a little bit better than the market as it counts to this year.
Perfect. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you, Lucas. The next question comes from Álvaro Lence at Alantra. Álvaro, please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. The first one would be on the customer demand and price sensitivity of customers. You have had a couple of distributors of pool products in the US mentioning that customers are becoming more price sensitive. You have also mentioned that you're not seeing major downtrading or lowering prices. So I just wanted to see how do you see prices evolving from here, and whether some of the deflation that we are seeing in some commodities could be put back into the supply chain in sense of lowering prices, or if you're confident that you will maintain prices as they are. And secondly would be on the cost cutting. If you could please give us some indication that you have guided that you're on track to deliver on your targets, but it's been the cost cutting has been higher than I expected, so I don't know if there is some potential upside to the numbers that you have provided in previous calls. Thanks.
Okay, Alvaro, I'll take the first one on price, and I'll let Javier take the second one on the simplification program. So again, I think we're pretty pleased with what we're seeing on price in 2023. We knew we were behind the curve on in 2022, and you're seeing that catch up in the first half of the year. We're not seeing significant price pressures on most of our product categories. We've seen some pressure in some of the more, let's call them commoditized product areas, such as chemicals. In general, this is an industry where demand is relatively inelastic, and we believe lowering prices will not stimulate demand. There has been some areas this season, heat pumps and above ground pools, where we've seen some discounting. And again, it didn't move the needle. You know, as we think about a tougher economic environment, it's not unusual. You'll see a bit of trading down. We've got a broad portfolio of product that makes sure that we're well positioned at point of sale for whatever the consumer is looking for. As far as you start to think of going forward in the Southern Hemisphere, where the season is about to start, we have just increased prices, and we plan to take price in the Northern Hemisphere for 2024 in a more normalized fashion.
Alvaro, I'll take the second one. We are very pleased with how the simplification program is working towards our 100 million target of savings over the next 3 years. I'll just remind that around two-thirds of that will be more improvements on the gross margin as we work on procurement and design to value, with our more back-end loaded, while in the more on the fixed cost reduction, that's more front-end loaded, and we have been executing quite well. So we are happy with the progress, but we're still targeting to deliver 100 million as we indicated. We're still far away from thinking about upgrading that guidance.
Thank you both.
Thank you, Alvaro. The next question comes from Christoph at Berenberg. Christoph, please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, and thank you for taking my questions. Three from my side, please. Firstly, on the guidance, so you obviously made very nice progress on the margins, especially now in Q2. So despite the easing comp, it seems like that the bidding guidance implies more or less flat margins in H2. So just wondering if it's, you know, fair to assume that the margin guidance is somewhat more conservative than the top line guidance that you've given. Then secondly, we've heard that the premium or high-end pools demand here is holding up better compared to the entry-level one. Could you give us some numbers on your exposure to the premium pools and how this compares to the market? And then just lastly, on the unfavorable weather, if you could quantify that negative impact you had here in H1.
Okay, lots to unpack there, Christoph. You want to start with margin?
Yeah, I'll take the margin guidance. Yeah, I mean, Christoph, if you run the numbers on the balance of year, really, when you look at low end and high end of the guidance, you have a wide range. Obviously, at this point in time, there's still a lot of volatility around volumes and so on. But if you look at the range, you have margins on the higher than last year when you look at the higher end of the range, and slightly below prior year. But we are very confident on our margin initiatives, the simplification impact, and so on, and we feel very secure that our margin improvement programs will deliver in the second half.
Thanks, XT. And as far as the new pools is concerned, I'd say really hard for us to break out a differential between high-end pools and lower end. I guess what I would say is part of our strength is Jandy in North America is higher end pools. We've spent a lot of time out in the market for the last couple of months talking to our builders, et cetera. And we see the high end guys fill for the year and starting to talk about what they're going to be doing into the back half.
We also tend to be a little bit stronger in the Sun Belt, and certainly the geographic migration continues to help us. And those two things combined make us believe that we're performing maybe a little bit better in the new construction. But I don't want to kid you either, Christoph. I mean, it's a tough environment out there. We see the permit data is reading to 30% plus down in North America. And we're still sticking to our 25 to 30% down as we look for the rest of the year. As far as weather is concerned, that's always a fun one in the industry to talk about. We usually say over the course of the season, you're going to see a kind of a plus or minus 1% impact of weather. This year has been particularly challenging in the U.S. And in some key states like California. So for the first half of the year, we see it closer to 2% in the states. As we look at Europe, it's been a late start with a little bit cold, but it's been hot and dry as recent. And let's say it's probably closer to 1% in Europe for the first half. So know that that's super precise, but it's really not as precise as I made it sound.
Yeah, that's very clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Christoph. Please bear with us a couple of seconds as we wait to see if there are further questions. Okay, the next question comes from Manuel Llorente at Mirabaud. Manuel, please go ahead.
Hi, morning. Probably my question is regarding your degrees of confidence regarding this new guidance. So can you give us a little some indication regarding, I don't know, maybe July trends or early buys in North America, in the sense that is there any degree of confidence or no that the trough is already there and the future is more or less, or the worst is really clearly behind us?
I guess first I'd say it's not really new guidance. We just have narrowed it down closer to the bottom half of the range. I'm not sure it's really much different than what we've shared before. I mean, I think new construction is really at the bottom end. Aftermarket remains resilient. You know, from a remodel standpoint, I think it's performed better than new, so not surprising. Commercial has been pretty good and on our expectation. Pricing holding up well. But I think the big piece in the first half has really been the inventory correction. So seeing the order pattern start to get better in Europe is helping. Obviously, the weather has turned on. I would say sell-through in July is a little bit better than what we saw in the first half of the year, but the tones are pretty similar. So generally speaking, I just say volumes at the lower end of the range. And really pleased with the work the teams are doing on gross margin recovery and the simplification plan. So that's where we are.
I think maybe a follow up on the FX front. On this guidance, implicit, let's say, the average of the first half or current evolution of the euro dollar trend.
Yeah, the guidance assumes the current evolution of FX. We had minimal to none impact in the first half, and the guidance assumes an impact of around 2.5 to 3%.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Manuel. There are no more questions, so this marks the end of today's presentation. We thank our speakers and participants. As always, please feel free to reach out to the investor relations team for further queries. Thank you and goodbye.